welcome to Harvest Baptist. I was texting with Pastor Cook this morning about 6:45, 7 o'clock, and he said he would be praying for me, and I know he is just like you are, and you have prayed for me, and I thank you for that. He also said, let them know, let my brothers and sisters know that I love them. And he is not just saying that, he means it. So, and it's a good feeling when a person tells you that he loves you, that they love you, and their words are not empty. It's got, you know, a meaning behind what they say. I thank God for Harvest Baptist Church, for God's people here. My wife and I came here in 2010, around there. And, with the pandemic, everybody just scattered like marbles, and then little by little we started coming back. We started going back to the Evangelical Church, and good people. I just felt out of place. And Ed called me one day saying that Pastor Gray was leaving, that he would like for me to be here, and so we were here. And how that Sunday we were thinking of becoming members over there, but I just wasn't comfortable. And Ed, I talked to Ed and said, have you become a member over there? I said, no, don't do it. There's a new pastor. And so I said, well, we prayed about it, and again, we felt that same love. And right away, they put us to work. And I said, I think the reason I was uncomfortable with them, not because they're not doing God's will, but it's because that's not where God wanted me. And Pat and I have been here, loved by you, and I thank you for that. And I came and saw other new faces, John, Bridget, Michael, and Agnes, and other new ones now, Clay and Cindy, Glenn. I saw Noni and Kevin and other new ones that I hadn't seen. The other ones are they came with the church. No, but they've been here when we were here. And so I just thank the Lord for that. Thank you for having the confidence of being here. A lot of time the pastor's not here and, you know, he's going to preach. Nah. So, but no, people tend, when the pastor's not here, nah. But we do it for the honor and glory of God. As we open God's word, we're going to go back in time. I'm going to hit a button and we're going to go back to where the church started. In the Old Testament, God's people were called Israel. Okay, Israel was the name of God's people. In the New Testament, God's people are called the church. That's you and me. And from the time of Pentecost until the rapture comes, that's the church right there. That includes us. And so let's go back. Open your Bibles. And I read it because I can't read the Bible. Everything moves, so I have to do it bigger. But I have gotten the courage of reading. I'm going to read chapter 2, 1 through 8. Hopefully everything goes good, but because of my vision, if I go a little bit slower, bear with me. But I think I'm doing a lot better, and I thank God for that. And I think God's people are praying for me. I thank God for whoever's putting the songs up there. My goodness, I can sing, whoa, because they don't go. And I just thank God for that. Thank God for technology. But let's go ahead and I'm going to hit the button, take you in prayer, and then when we open our eyes, we're going to be back in Jerusalem when the church started. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we give you the honor and glory. Father, thank you for the heroes of God's people, that because of them many were murdered, tortured, and all because they carried your word, Lord. They weren't criminals, they didn't steal, they didn't do anything wrong but preach your word, and they were faithful. And because of them, Lord, we have the Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit that encourages us and guides us, Lord. So, Father, this evening, as we open your book, Lord, your word, and go back in time to have a picture, a glimpse of what was going on back there and what is going on today. How can we relate Acts to our lives, Lord? And so, Lord, help us this evening as we go through your word. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Back then, in the Old Testament, remember, over there was the altar of sacrifice out there. And then they would, you and I would come to Pastor Cook, which was a priest, okay? And he we would bring an animal, and we would place our hands on that animal, right? And the innocent for the non-innocent, right? The just would die for the unjust. And we would put our hands on that little animal, and the priest would kill it, and then the priest would, signifying that that animal died in our place. And then the priest would come to the first part of the tabernacle, right? And there was another little altar here before you go into the Holy of Holies. Right here would be a curtain. But then he would come and take all your prayers, and he would pray and light incense, signifying that God answered our prayers. Okay? And then once a year, the priest, and he had a rope, a real nice rope, and had little belts around here, and then he would go, and you know what they would do? They would tie a piece of rope on his leg. The priest would go in the Holy of Holies, and the ark was in here. And what was in the ark was the Ten Commandments. That's all it was, okay? And he would go in there, and once a year he would pray for the people and then for himself. Remember, he would pray for himself. And if he would bear and he'd be moving, and the other priest would say, well, he's still alive and all that. Ding, ding, ding. And if all of a sudden he was taking too long, if that priest did anything wrong, God would take his life right there. Now, the other priest couldn't go in there, so guess what they would do? They would pull him from that with a rope. That's the way they would do it, okay? The Bible speaks about 70 years, a lot of times 70 and 7, okay? But remember, God's people for 70 years stopped going to church. And they were sinning, and God would send all the prophets, but they wouldn't listen. And when you get to the book of Daniel, God speaks about 70 years. And those 70, there's some things in the Old Testament that have already been fulfilled. There's some that were fulfilled in Jesus, after Jesus. And then there'll be others that will be fulfilled in the future. Okay? This is what's going on. But 70 years, they neglected God. And so Daniel has a vision, and it's saying that they would be held, be in captivity. And guess who? Nebuchadnezzar came in and helped them. He destroyed the temple. Remember, he destroyed the temple, burned it down, and then brought all God's people to Babylon, from Israel, from Jerusalem, all the way, which was about 500-600 miles, took them all. And he mistreated them and all that, but there was a remnant that kept being faithful. And then after 70 years, okay, through King Darius. Darius conquered, Nebuchadnezzar had already died, and then his son Belteshazzar took over. His son Belteshazzar was very careless. He didn't care what he did. And so when King Darius came and defeated him, and he set God's people free. Okay? When you read the Bible, you hear about the great disbursement where after this, and some were too old, they stayed in Babylon. Okay? But most of them, they went all the way to Rome, to Greece, to Damascus. Some went as far as Ethiopia. Some went all the way to Egypt. And they spread all over, and some went to Jerusalem. Okay? And so now we come to the Daniel speaks about another set of 70. Okay? And he speaks in Daniel, and we're not going to go there if you want to, but Daniel chapter 9 speaks about another set of 70, and he speaks about 62 weeks, the 62 weeks. And then after, there's another week. If you get 62 plus 7, how much is that? 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, what? 69. The Bible says, Daniel says that in the 69th week, the Messiah will be taken away. Okay? And so we are living in the 69th week of what Daniel is speaking. We are, when Christ was born, the 69th of what the Bible is calling started. Okay? And it's going to last until the rapture. Okay? We are living right now. We are living in the 69th week. And the Lord can come anytime right now. Everything has been fulfilled. So now we are living in the 69th week. And if you go through the 70th week, something is wrong. You have been left behind. Because after the 69th week, the rapture will take place. And guess what's going to happen? The 70th week, which is the tribulation, will start. You and I will not be there. Okay, we won't be there. But this is why this is happening. And so now, let's get into the Word of God. Okay, and then it says, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read it, bear with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Speaking about the 12 disciples, apostles, okay? They were in one place, okay? And then it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The house. What house was it talking about? Go with me right away to Acts 7, 47. Acts 7, 47. Speaking about, they were in the house. This is not a regular house. Okay? This is what it's talking about. In Acts 7, 47, it said, but Solomon built him a what? A house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet. My point here is, in the Old Testament, the temple was called the house of God. So where the disciples are in, they're in God's house. It's not a regular, it's a temple. But that's how it called it, okay? So they're in the temple, and this is what's happening. Okay. Okay. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, which is the day the festival of harvest. Okay, when when they would celebrate, the Jews had about three main celebrations. And sometimes, because they were one right after another, because they came from far away, what they would do is that they would stay there because they weren't going to go all the way to California, especially in a donkey or in a mule, and then come all the way back. So they would stay there for several, and then they would leave. So it says there, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven or different tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, speaking about the disciples and maybe a few others that were there. Okay? Now this is what's happening. The disciples back then, they were sitting in chairs and you guys were looking at them. Okay? They were sitting here and the rest of the congregation was like where you're at. And so it says here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does it mean that we're going to go, ah, blah, blah, blah? No. But this is where we need to make sure. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go to 431. And this is what it says. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This is what happens when you and I, because we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference, okay? If you and I were filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what? We're going to go out there and we're going to use God's word and tell them about, you know what? There's a judgment coming, and those that die without Christ are going to go to hell. And you know what? There's a day where you and I are going to be sitting here. We're going to be gone. And if you don't repent, you're going to stay. And you're going to go through the tribulation. And God will give us through the Holy Spirit the boldness to preach to them the Word of God. Not what we want to, but the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit is going to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we try to play the part of the Holy Spirit. That's where we fail. Okay, so now this is what it means, okay? And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, godly, okay, devout men out of every nation under heaven, okay? Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded or confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. These are Christians. You guys are here. You're Christians. You're hearing me. But back then, God had to do a job because the devout or the godly people thought that to get to heaven was to keep the law of God. How many of us have kept the law of God? So God was going to do a job and let us know, okay, yes, you're seeking me, but it's not by reading the Bible. I have read the Bible at least 13 times since I became a Christian, from Genesis to Revelation. Is that going to take me to heaven? No. The Bible is going to reveal to me that I am a sinner, that there's a God that cannot allow me to go into heaven unless I repent. And Jesus came and died because he was the only one. And so now I receive him. I confess my sins and I accept him. And now I turn from my wicked ways and I go the opposite direction. This is what it is when people are looking at us through what God did. Okay? But they were sitting there and they came from, remember, these people that came from all over the nations were God's people that were dispersed back then. Now they're coming back. And this is what's happening now. And they were all amazed because they were marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" You know what? The people from Galilee were like farmers, fishers, and a few shepherds. And we here, we're lawyers, electricians, architects, and we have, and so they started saying, "Tony, aren't this," and you know, even Peter, when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, "Surely you're one of them because your speech says so." They had a way of talking. "Hi, y'all, how you doing?" But there was something about them that, yeah, your country, your west or whatever, southern, they had like a southern neck, or they had something that would distinguish. And then, not only that, they weren't too educated in their language, but their official was farm, working in farms. And here, me and Tony, we're electricians, and how can this, you know, it's a put down. How can they be telling us, Tony? And so this is what it starts, okay? They're sitting down here, and this is what happened, okay? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens them for the first time. And this is what happens. I'm going to speak. All of a sudden, I'm going to speak in another language. You're not going to understand me. But all of a sudden, God's going to give several of you the ability to understand me, and then you're going to stand, and all of a sudden, what I said in Spanish, you're going to interpret it into the language that we are all going to understand. And so all of a sudden, one of the apostles is standing right there, and he goes this way. Como está escrito, no hay justo ni aun uno. Did you understand that? But all of a sudden, John gets up and interprets what I just said. And John says,
"As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one."
Oh, did you understand that? Yes. And this is what God was trying to tell them. Yeah, you might think you're very educated, but there's none. Oh, Jesus is the only righteous. There's none. And they had to hear that. And then all of a sudden, I say, another one says, "Porque cualquiera que guardara toda la ley, pero ofendiera en un punto, se hace culpable de todos." And then all of a sudden, Ed gets up and says, see what's going on? God is trying to make them realize what's going on. Okay? That if we try, because they were trying to keep the law, but it wasn't because they were going to fail, just like you and I, and God was letting them know in their own language. Now, Ed doesn't know Spanish, but he just interpreted what I just said. And you guys are understanding, right? And then Tony, hey, isn't that Ed? That Galilean over there? And how then do we hear him speaking in our own language? Okay? And then all of a sudden, por cuanto todos pecaron y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios. Well, I'm preaching the word of God, but you don't understand. And all of a sudden, Glenn stands up and look what he says.
"For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
Uh-huh. Plain and simple. He's giving them the gospel step by step, and there's people, and every one of us is understanding what's going on for the first time that has ever happened. And then he goes, "Porque la paga del pecado es muerte, mas la dádiva de Dios es vida eterna en Cristo Jesús, Señor nuestro." And then all of a sudden Kevin gets up. Of God.
Jesus Christ.
See how the Word of God, it's not, they weren't there to entertain us. They were there to preach the Word of God. And it was happening through the Holy Spirit. And you're realizing, you know what? I've been trying to keep the law. No wonder I have failed miserable. It is God that we need. We all have sinned, and I am one of them. And so they are preaching the Word of God, and they're leading them to repentance. And so he goes now, and he goes, Mas Dios muestra su amor para con nosotros en que aun siendo pecadores, Cristo murió por nosotros. And then all of a sudden, Daryl gets up.
But God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
See how it's, yes, we're sinners, but you know what? Christ died for us. So what must I do to be saved? And then all of a sudden, now he's leading us, it says, que si confesares con tu boca que Jesús es el Señor y creyeres en tu corazón que Dios le levantó de los muertos, serás salvo. Porque con el corazón se cree para justicia, pero con la boca se confiesa para salvación. Porque todo aquel que invocar el nombre del Señor será salvo. Sounds good, right? But you didn't understand. And all of a sudden, Clay gets up.
But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
And as they're saying this, we get to 12, 9 through 12, and these are all the languages. I'm not going to go through each and every one, but this is all the nations, the people from all the nations, 1 through 11. And then in 12, it goes, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaning is this? Hey, what's going on? We came to hear the word of God, and what's going on? See, these were godly people, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why the Holy Spirit had come, so that, yeah, they were maybe baptized, but the Holy Spirit had not indwelled them like it indwells you and me. And so now, others, now again, among God's people, there'll be those that are unbelievers. You know that? They come and they hear the word of God, but it doesn't penetrate. They come, oh, it sounded good, but then they go but they don't receive Christ. But those people were right there, and then this is what happens. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what mean is this? And then it says, but others, okay? It says, others mocked and said, these men are full of wine, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. When 40-something years ago, before I accepted Christ, Friday, party time, all night long. Saturday would come. No food. Let's go party. And then Sunday would come, and we would go to the grocery store. But guess what? I don't know if it's still the same rule that applied back then, but on Sundays they would not sell liquor until 12 o'clock or over. I don't know if it's still the same, because I don't really care, because I don't drink no more. But so Peter is saying, you are saying, and we need to be careful that we don't quench the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, it's barely 9 o'clock in the morning, and they don't open till 12. How can they be drunk if they haven't even touched liquor? If you're saying that they're drunk, they couldn't. And then he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, speaking about the days we're living in right now, the 69th week, okay? This is what, when it's saying, and it shall be, where am I at? Okay, 17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In other words, and they shall witness, okay? And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The last days is, we are in the last days. Right now, we are in the last day. We are in the 69th week. There's one more week to come. And you and I better not be there. Because before that happens, okay, the last days include all the days between the first and the second coming of Christ. And it's another way of saying from now on. Revelations, if you look at Revelations, okay, this is, we're in the last, we are, I believe that God's coming is just around the corner. I really do. And this is why we need to go out there and witness. And we need to be an example to people, but this is what's going to happen to you. You know why you and me will not be there? Because Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept thy word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation who shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. When the rapture takes place, okay, but because you and I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not go through the tribulation. And Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 13 through 18, it says, and the dead in Christ, all our loved ones that have died, it said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then who? We that are alive. Paul was still alive when he was saying that, but now he's dead. And now we say, and they will rise first. And man, I wish that if the Lord came for you and me, wouldn't it be a blessing for him to find us at God's house? And from here, boom, we go from God's house here to our heavenly mansion, and we'll be there forever. And if you read Revelations chapter 3, 1 through 3, it speaks of the seven churches, okay? And it includes us, okay? And if you notice, it speaks of the churches. But after chapter 4, the church is not there no more. If you go from chapter 4, and it's everything that's going on through the tribulation until the Lord comes back. Okay? So, this is what was going on. And when they, see, there was a day of harvest, but the Lord picked a harvest. It was never the same when they went. Remember when Paul went and he would find churches? That's how the word of God spread. When we accept Christ, and when you talk to somebody in the store or whatever, and they take the gospel, and they take the gospel, and this is how the word of God spread throughout the world. So this is what was happening back then. It should still be happening. Now you and I have the Holy Spirit. Deborah Williams' wife, Williams, yeah. We were talking one Sunday out there, and the daughter of the missionary, remember that little three-year-old, after church, and we were talking, and she comes and pulls on her dress. Ma'am, you know what she had? A track. And she said, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If a child can do that, why can't you and I do that? We have to. We have opportunities. Saturday will be visitation. Maybe some you can't walk, but you can give a tract, give a phone call, invite somebody. And this is how. Why? Because we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Thank you for your patience, and may the Lord bless you. Let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to hit the button and bring us back to our time. Heavenly Father, as we come back to from that trip that we saw how the church started and the purpose of you using men, women, now you use men, women through your Holy Spirit. And when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, no, they're not going to speak in tongues. They're going to preach your word with boldness. They're going to witness. And so, Father, thank you for this evening. Sorry for going a little bit over. They took my time, so I took their time. But it's all for the good, Lord. Father, thank you. And take us back home. And we'll give you, Father, the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we pray for Pastor Cook and for Michelle and for those that are not doing good. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. You are dismissed.